sing them over and over again, and then eventually, what happens? We memorize them, don't we? That's right. Kayla knows. We memorize these songs. We do that all the time. I don't know how many times I'll hear a song I haven't listened to in 30 years, and I know every word off by heart. Music is very powerful. Very powerful. It's a powerful, next to the written word, music is the second most powerful way of communicating ideas and thoughts. And no matter where you go around the globe, music, you'll find it. Instruments of some shape, form, one way or another, and music. Stories, ideas being transferred through music. And so it's important that we utilize the same thing that the world utilizes. You know, we are often indoctrinated by the messaging in this world. Happens all the time. And our children are indoctrinated by the same messaging. And we don't get to control those messages. A lot of times it's messages we disagree with, messages that are actually quite frightening, or the consequences could be. And day after day after day, we're inundated with these messages, and we memorize them, even unbeknownst to ourselves, words that we remember for years because of the melody that's attached to it. And so, what a great idea to make sure that, I mentioned this last week, that we brainwash, or more specifically, heartwash our children. Allow the Word of God to flow through them, through the music that we present, to literally indoctrinate them with what? Morality, hope, truth, mercy, grace, love, all of the things that they're missing. And we can hear a lot of songs about the difficulties in this world and the side effects of those difficulties. You can make a lot of money talking about your breakups and your dog running away, and, you know, all of the other things people do all the time. But there's not a lot of hope in that. So anyway, I'm glad that we can do that. And so it's good to learn these songs and help the kids be encouraged to learn them as well. They hear us singing them, and they're going to want to sing them. They often do. They do a good job. By the way, I love the... This is a new concept to me, at least since I've been here the last couple of years. This will be the third VBS. But the actions with the, what do you call it? The sign language. Thank you. Because this is Christ. We learned that already. And I said, this is the same. So we're learning sign language while we learn the music. And so are the children. I think that's pretty neat. Anyway, be in prayer for Vacation Bible School and for our children. Excuse me this morning. I've been sick. I'm on the tail end of that. You can avoid me. I won't be offended if you sidestep me and don't shake my hand. I get it. I think the any infectious part of this, whatever this is over and done with. Starting Monday last week, I started to get this. We went away for a couple of days fishing, which was a lot of fun. Some of you, I know, just been doing some fishing as well. But the flies, I don't know what the flies were like for you guys.
Not bad.
I'd never seen them as bad as we had them. I'm going where you went next year. I'll tell you, we battled. I had a face net. I've never wear face nets. I had a face net, bug screen. I showered 2 or 3 times a day just to get the bug screen off me, the bug spray. But anyway, they chewed us alive. We had a lot of fun, and I was able to tent with my father, 77 years old, and it was his idea to go tenting again. So I tried not to complain too much watching him, and he's a rugged fella. Anyway, we had a really good time, and Eliana as well. Eliana outfished us all, by the way. She caught 15 white perch and a yellow perch. I caught a pickerel and a perch. That was about it. So anyway, we had a lot of fun. It was pretty big. You talk to me later, it gets bigger. Anyway, we had a lot of fun. So yeah, I spent most of my time recovering from this, but my voice is not awesome, obviously, so you'll have to bear with me here throughout the day. It'll probably get worse and worse as time goes on. When I get sick, my voice is usually the first thing to go and the last thing to come back. It's the same thing when I get a migraine. But anyway, I'm not feeling too bad. It's good to be here this morning. We're going to break bread later on this morning in our worship service. But this morning, we're going to get back into our study on the gifts of the Spirit. So bear with me as I muddle through this. We'll pray and we'll ask for God's wisdom and help on our time here this morning. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to gather together here in your house. You gave us, Father, a whole week behind us. Every day we've lived up to this point. Thank you for your grace and goodness. Thank you for our lives. Thank you, Father, that we can enjoy your creation, our families, and your grace and your mercy and your love. And Lord, despite the challenges that we face every day and the difficulties we endure and that we see around us, it's good to be saved. And Lord, because we are saved, it's good to experience your grace in this world around us. Thank you that we can pull ourselves away from the hustle and bustle of life now, and we can gather together in this little building. And as believers, as saints, Born again Christians, Father, imperfect but saved by your goodness and your grace to us, we can gather together and exalt your name, O Lord Jesus, and praise you, O God. And Lord, we just ask that as we meet together today, we would be encouraged and challenged. We pray for those that are not able to be with us, some that are sick and some that are away. We pray for them. And then, Lord, we ask that you would be with us today as we look at your word here this morning, we and the children downstairs, and then, Father, as we worship in the services today. So bless our time. God, encourage our hearts today. You know the challenges that we're facing. Bring some peace and, Lord, some thoughtfulness from your word today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as we get started here this morning, we're going to take a look at the gift of tongues. And that one probably will take some time as well. We're not going to get, I don't feel like it's necessary to prove or to demonstrate the reason why we here at Bethel, and for the most part, the Baptist side of Christianity, or the Baptist side of religion, maybe I'll say, recognizes that the Bible teaches that that gift has ceased. So we won't get into a lot of that, but I do want to talk a little bit about the gift of tongues and the reason for it and what it accomplished. But just before we turn to 1 Corinthians, or you can go ahead and turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the first passage in regards to the list of gifts that we've been looking at. There's a couple of others we'll get to. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let me just explain again quickly. The gifts that I'm talking about are the spiritual tools that God gives to us as gifts that we can utilize for the benefit of each other and the growing of the church or the kingdom of God to perpetuate that forward. So our gifts help, and God has given us these gifts for that purpose, to encourage one another and to grow the work of the ministry. We can come with talents, carpenters and mechanics and doctors and musicians. Those are wonderful things. And we utilize all of those skills and talents within our church. Some of you are phenomenal at many different things. But the spiritual gifts are unique. They're not something that we can simply acquire and work at getting better at doing. As a matter of fact, as a Christian, if I step out of my lane, maybe I'll say it that way, if I get out of my lane and get in another lane, I might make a mess. If I don't have the gift of, you know, teaching or the gift of prophecy or the gift of preaching or the gift of whatever, discernment, let's say, and I try to utilize that gift, but God's not giving it to me, I might make a mess. But instead, I can lean on those that clearly have these different gifts. And as the body of Christ together, cohesively, all of our different gifts help us to be strong and for the Lord to use us. And I love that. You know, if you were to go to the front lines of an army, all of those soldiers would have different responsibilities. Some of them would be good at, you know, reading maps. Some of them would be good at reconnaissance. Some of them would be good at, you know, taking out the enemy with single shots, snipers, that kind of stuff. Everybody's gifted in different ways in the military. And it's the same within a church. We often utilize the picture of being the army of God. And so God has given us gifts, and we utilize these gifts for His glory and, again, for the edification of the church. Some of these gifts we've looked at that you have, that we have, different gifts, are the gifts of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing. And again, I'll just reiterate, some of these gifts are sign gifts. The gift of healing was a sign gift. It was a temporary gift to prove Jesus was who he said he was, that the apostles, the disciples, were chosen, selected by Christ to do the work of God, that the early church could be established, and that these miraculous sign gifts would help make that establishment secure. And now that the church has been established, and for 2,000 years, here we are. It worked. God knew what he was doing. Those sign gifts are no longer necessary. They have ceased. But the other gifts that we've been focusing on, they still are important. The gift of wisdom, as I said, that we have those in our midst that are able to help us understand the Word of God, or the gift of knowledge and how to apply the Word of God. Sometimes it takes a long time before we can really have an understanding, and those with these gifts help us. The gift of faith, those that have such great faith, they encourage us. They'll tell us, you just have faith. You trust the Lord. It's going to be okay. And that encourages us and it comforts us. Those with the gift of healing, as I said, this is one of the sign gifts that was very clear. The apostles, Peter and others, would just heal people through the power of Jesus Christ, and it secured them and their apostleship in the early church. Last week we talked, or the week before, I guess we talked about prophecy, the ability to teach in a prophetic way those things that have already been inscribed in Scripture. And then the discerning of spirits is where we were last week. Those individuals that are gifted in being able to identify troublemakers or doctrines that are not biblical. And we spent the whole time last week on this gift. But one thing I didn't say, and I think we've made this point, you've heard this before, but it's like the banker that doesn't look at counterfeit bills. Now, we're going into a digital age now. None of us have cash anymore, so we won't be able to use this example very much longer. But the bankers used to study the real bills, not the counterfeits, because the counterfeits are always changing. But if they knew what the real money looked like, smelled like, and felt like, when a counterfeit came their way, they could identify it. This doesn't feel right. There's something off about this. I can't quite pick it out yet, but I know this is a counterfeit. And when we study the Word of God, when we know the truth, when we know what God wants us to know, and a counterfeit comes along, we can identify it. And so those with the gift of discernment are good at being able to identify those false doctrines or those spirits, demonic or otherwise, that would seek to lead us astray. And we need those with this gift to help us determine some of these difficulties that come to the church. So this is where we've been so far, these six specific gifts. Just before we move on to the gift of tongues, does anybody have any questions maybe on any of these gifts or any of these things at all? Sorry? The gift of tongues? Yes, sir. That's right. And that's what we're going to get into this morning, because one of the things about the gift of tongues that's always baffled me, I don't understand why it's hard. It's for me, this is a personal, not even a pet peeve, but just my own observation. It's the same thing with the different dispensations. For whatever reason, that's an issue for some people. And I never understood that. What's the big deal? As you can see it in the Bible, there clearly God works differently in different seasons. Same God, but he has, you know, different plans, the way that he demonstrates his power and what he wants from us. And I never understood that, what the problem was with understanding or seeing the different dispensations. It's just not divisive to me. And tongues is the same way. I don't understand why, for the most part, people can't recognize that, as Yun just said, when we talk about tongues, we're talking about different languages. And if I all of a sudden had the gift of speaking in tongues this morning, then you would hear me speaking a known language in this world that I didn't learn. So we had the Andersons here. Jason demonstrated that he's learning to speak what? Korean. He did pretty good. He knows more Korean than me. And his wife knows even more than him, right? She's born in Korea. If I all of a sudden had the gift, if I could just start speaking in Korean, though I didn't understand what I was saying, this is another thing that often gets missed. I could speak fluent Korean so that a Korean individual would be amazed. Say, wow, you're really good at Korean. You just explained the gospel to me very clearly. And I would say, did I? I don't know what I said, but I'm glad I'm good at it. That was the gift of speaking in tongues. The ability to speak in a language that individual didn't learn, but that other people knew. So if I could speak in Korean in a supernatural way today, if I stood before you and started to utter Korean language, somebody interpreted that and said, Pastor Tim just preached a message in Korean. This is what he said. These were all the details. These were all his points. This is what he said. Then that would be the gift of speaking in tongues. And alongside that, the gift of interpretation. Because somebody who also didn't know Korean would have to know it supernaturally and say, oh, I understand what he's saying, every word, wow. And they would explain to the congregation, this is what he said. And that would demonstrate, well, this is miraculous, this is supernatural. Clearly, God wants us to know the gospel message so much that he's even given us the gift to speak languages we didn't learn and languages we can understand that we didn't learn, so that we could hear this message of the gospel. That was the point of tongues. It was a gift to the unbelievers, or a sign, I should say, to the unbelieving Jews, that they would recognize that God's work was being accomplished. His prophecies were being fulfilled, and also that judgment was coming because they rejected the Messiah. So the gift of tongues is a language. you had the ability to speak a different language. We're going to read it here in a second. You'll see the evidence in Acts chapter 2. But let me read in 1 Corinthians 12. As we look at these verses again, it says in verse 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit." Remember, it's the Spirit of God that gives us these gifts. It's not me. I don't just choose, I like this gift. I'll go ahead and get better at that. The Spirit of God gifts us these different gifts. So the Spirit goes around, He gives to one the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another the word of faith, or sorry, the gift of faith. Same Spirit. By the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing. By the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. Different kinds of tongues. Not the physical muscle that's in my mouth, but language. Different tongues means languages. We see that throughout the book of Revelation, where there will be different tongues and representations of nations, languages someday in the kingdom of God. Every nation will have a representation there. So in regards to this gift of tongues, what was it? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. And this is all we need to really know, because it spells it out. It demonstrates what this gift is, what it was, what it was for. There's only a handful of people in the Bible that actually had this gift, not hundreds or even dozens, just a handful that are mentioned in Scripture that had this gift. And we know also that some of them had more than just the gift of tongues, as Paul was one of those individuals, the gift of healing as well. So Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." So now, the day of Pentecost, this is a celebration, one of the feasts. So all kinds of people have gathered together. The Jews do this quite a bit. And they would gather together these different feasts, and they would celebrate, and they would remember the feasts as they were instructed to do. Sometimes not the way they were supposed to, but nonetheless, they've all gathered together at the day of Pentecost. And of course, God capitalizes on this. Everybody's together. I'm going to go ahead and once again demonstrate my power in these apostles, the early church, so that people will recognize this is God's work. This is God's church. Those that Christ chose, the church that Christ began to build, is still here. It's still being built. It is the Christian church, the followers of Christ. And on the day of Pentecost, it says that they were all gathered together, the disciples, with one accord, one place. They're all getting along. It says in verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." Remember, Jesus Christ told them the Comforter was going to come. "I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." That day has arrived. And then this powerful, rushing, mighty wind, as they're in this room, they're filled with the Spirit of God. The presence of the Spirit enters that room. It fills the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, it says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Now, I've met different people that claim to speak in tongues. I've never seen any of them with a burning tongue above their head. I don't know if this was, I'm trying not to be silly. This was unique, obviously. And even in Scripture, there's a couple of other places in the book of Acts that represents that where they're able to speak in tongues, but there's no burning tongue referenced in those other portions. This is unique. And it's clearly indicating that this was of God, that the Holy Spirit was present in the delivering of this gift. These cloven burning tongues sat upon each one of them, it says in verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Do you know that you can go online and you can be led astray by false teachers that will say, "Hey, you want to speak in tongues? I can teach you." No, according to the Bible, it says that the Spirit is the one that gives us this gift, not people. How many times do we look around and we see religious entities and organizations claiming God's role, God's position for themselves, saying, "Just do what I say. Just confess your sins to me. Just give your money to me. Put your faith in me. I can do these things for you." And they often usurp God's authority and God's position. And so you can go online, and I wouldn't recommend anybody do this in reality, but if you want to know, there are people out there. You can take online courses. You can go to different places, and they will teach you the gift of speaking in tongues. And essentially, the idea is that you just have to give up This idea that you're in control and just let whatever pours out of your mouth come out. And that's the gift. The Bible doesn't teach that. It is scary. Do you know that there are, it's not just, the charismatic face or the Pentecostal face that speak in tongues. I forget now exactly how many, but there are over 20 or 25 religions that claim to be able to speak in tongues. Most of them are occultic religions, like voodoo. And I think I shared the story already of the woman that came from Haiti to America, started to go to a Pentecostal church, and they were speaking in tongues. And she said, "Oh, I just left this. I don't like what's associated with this. This is not good." You know, God is not going to allow something so precious. The gift of speaking in tongues is not something that God is going to allow to be squandered amongst false religions. But you see, this idea of speaking in tongues has been twisted. And what they literally believe is that you can say whatever you want to, and it's some kind of angelic supernatural language. And we've all heard it, right? Just boom, shakalaka, wah, wah, wah. There it is. You said something amazing. We don't know what it is. And most churches these days won't even have an interpreter. Some do, to sort of, okay, no, we're doing it right over here. And the interpreter says, "Well, this is what they said." Well, we know right off the bat that can't be true. Now, let me read the text so that we get it, so you don't think I'm making fun of anybody. By the way, I have had this experience. I walked the aisle one day as a little boy, born again, brand new Christian, because I wanted this gift to speak in tongues. And I think I've shared this story before. And as the preacher went down the line, every adult before me all of a sudden received this amazing gift. They're all speaking this gibberish. And as I listened, I thought, wow, I don't know what they're saying, but I'm going to get to do it here soon. And when the preacher came to me, I could tell by the look on his face, he was afraid. This little boy, all by himself, no parents, tent meeting, he walked up and he's with all these adults. And he was afraid that I was going to blow the whole thing. Because every one of these adults was speaking in tongues. Not because, and this is I'll say it's my opinion, but it's based on the authority of God's word. Because none of them were speaking languages that are known. They were all speaking gibberish. And so when he came to me and this preacher looked at me and he prayed and he prayed and he cried out and he prayed and he started to sweat and he started to get embarrassed and uncomfortable. And so did other people because they realized that God gave the gift to everybody else except this little boy. For some reason, God wasn't going to give him the gift. And I just realized, this isn't real. I just a brand new baby Christian, a little kid. And I just knew within myself, why? Because the Spirit of God was protecting me, that this wasn't what it was supposed to be, what they were telling me it was. So I listened to the people and I made up the words. And actually, I didn't make them up. I remembered because it sounded like a cartoon I had watched. The little Mexican mouse, what's it called? What's his name? Speedy Gonzales. Yes. And I remember seeing this cartoon many times. And Speedy Gonzales, I know it sounds funny, but this is literally what I did. Music is playing, people are praying, this preacher is shaking me, and he's hoping I get the gift. And I know, I'm saying, well, okay, God, I guess I got to get him out of this. So I started to say, angle, angle, ipa, ipa, which is Mexican, by the way, so I did speak in tongues. And it means, eep, eep, help, help. You know, the cat was chasing the mouse. But I remember just saying that. And the only reason was because I wanted to get myself and him out of that situation. And as soon as I did it, he praised the Lord and he was, phew, there. Thank you. But I left there that night. And I remember not going back the next night and thinking, no, there's something about that that wasn't true. So I say all that to say this. If this is a gift that God wants us to have, I'm going to be sincere about this, and I know I'm a little preachy today. I don't mean to be, but how many Christians here today would say that if God wanted me to have the gift of being able to speak in other languages, I would want that? My hand's up. Yeah. We live in a community right now where what an asset that would be. I could walk up to people that just arrived here and say, hey, guess what? They say, wow, you speak my, yeah, you know why? God. And he gave me this ability to share. I would do that. I would do that en masse. And I've often prayed in my earlier days, God, if there's something in my life that I'm missing, please show it to me. I don't want to miss out on any of your blessings. God is not a respecter of persons. And he's not going to say, I'm going to give this, this part of the church my gifts, but this part of the church, I'm not going to give any of these gifts to them. If this is a gift that God wants the church to have, then there would be some here today that would have this gift. None of us do. And it's not because we don't want those gifts, and it's not because we don't have faith. It's because those gifts are done. That specific gift of speaking in tongues is done. Now here's what it says, verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. It says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, remember, and they were speaking with other tongues. And all of these different Jews were there in Jerusalem. It says, devout men out of every nation under heaven. That's a lot of different people. Yet God knows what he's doing. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, when word got around, hey, did you hear about those disciples, those apostles? They're up there speaking in different languages. What do you mean? And they started to gather around. They started to listen. They were paying attention. It says, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So they're listening to these Galileans, these Jews, and this guy's speaking Aramaic, and this guy's speaking Chinese, and this guy's speaking, how is that possible? How does he know my language? This is a Galilean, but he's speaking it fluently and perfectly, and not just, you know, how's the weather today, but he's speaking the truth of God, the wonderful works of God. There was a reason why God gave them this gift, not to elevate themselves, but to elevate God. So they're listening to all this, and here's what it says in verse 7. It says that they were all amazed because they're speaking in their own languages, it says, not angel language, not gibberish, but it says they were speaking in their own language, and they were amazed. And they marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Hey, these boys are all from Galilee. How do they know how to speak all of these different languages? How can we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then it gives us a list. And I think it's so on purpose. That's bad grammar, I know. But I believe on purpose, God lists the different nationalities that are represented so that we pick it up. You know, in Genesis, when it says the evening and the morning were the first day, the evening and the morning were the second day, the evening and the morning, it goes through that, the whole thing, every day. God is saying, no, this is 24 hours. Because he knew someday there would be people that would argue that a day is a billion years and a million years. So God's like, let me just tell them the evening and the morning so that they get it. This is one day, 24 hours. Now, we still don't get the message, but this is what God does. And here, God has laid out the different nationalities that were represented in the tongues that they were speaking. They spoke in the language of the Parthians, in the language of the Medes. They spoke in the language of the Elamites and those that dwelt in Mesopotamia. They spoke in the language of Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and the strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes and Cretes and Arabians. These were all kinds of different nationalities. And they're all gathered together. They're listening to these guys, this group, and they're saying, well, they're speaking my language. How is this possible? And imagine the scene as all of them together were listening to these different languages, and some understood, some didn't understand, but they recognized it was supernatural. As it says, let me read this part again because it's important. It says in verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, our languages. And then it says, the wonderful works of God. That's what they were talking about. This is the gift of speaking in tongues. Someone that never learned it, all of a sudden, supernaturally, they had the ability to speak in tongues. And this gift stayed with the church for several years following this event. There's a couple of more times in Acts where that gift is demonstrated to demonstrate that there was true conversion in a couple of different groups. And then as time went on, this gift simply dissipated. Same as the gift of healing. It just died away. And that's why it no longer exists today. And the Bible says, and we'll get to another verse here in Corinthians, that this gift, the gift of tongues, will cease. That it will stop. And we know that it has. So when it comes to the gift of tongues, what I really want us to understand is it was different languages. Just like we see in our world today. And the gift of speaking in tongues was the supernatural ability to all of a sudden know a language. Now, again, you don't know what you're saying. This is sort of the catch-22 of the gift. What good is it to speak a language if you don't know what you're saying? Well, if you have an interpreter who can interpret what you said, then God gets the credit, not the person that spoke or the interpreter, because neither one of them really have a clue. I can't speak it, but I understand it, so I need God's help. I can't understand it, but I can speak it because that's God. God is a part of this. And so those two gifts are sort of brought together. And these individuals are recognizing that God is involved. They're speaking the wonderful works of God. This is the gift of speaking in tongues. So,
when everybody is understanding that everyone's got the gift of speaking, and there's five different groups of people, they'll have them all understanding in their own language, or is it repeating itself five times?
Each person, from what I understand, each person understood whatever individual was speaking their language. So they wouldn't have understood all the languages, just the one that was speaking in their language. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 here. Read a few more verses in regards to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And there's, we can take a long time on this, and I don't want to, but maybe let's start in verse 13, just to, where does the idea, the concept come from that when you say boom shakalaka uka uka boo boo, that you've spoken in angel talk? Because that's what the majority believes, that when you speak in tongues, you're saying gibberish, but not really, it's actually angel talk, or it's spiritual talk that only God understands, and that's a good thing. But Paul was making the point, we won't get to this, that if you're speaking in tongues and there's no interpreter, the only one that's benefiting is God, because even you don't understand what you're saying. And what Paul was saying is that the gift of speaking in tongues shouldn't be put on the top of the list as the best gift, but the gift of love, or being loving. But here's where this idea of speaking angel talk comes from. It says in verse 1 of chapter 13, Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal." Now, Paul is making the point, because the Christians were fighting amongst themselves, and I got the gift of tongues, and I'm better than you, and no, you don't, I've got the gift, and you're just faking it. And Paul's like, hey, hold on a second. You guys are treating each other like garbage here. It's not about the gifts. It's about the purpose for the gifts. And he says, by the way, if I had the gift of being able to speak all the languages of different men and the gift of speaking angel language, but I don't have love, I am become sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. In other words, I'm just making a noise. What good is it? If I don't have love, this is the point he's making, the gifts don't matter. You're all fighting about what gifts you want to have and should have and do and don't have, but you're not demonstrating love. You've lost the point. You've missed the point. But what's happened is, Paul is making a comparison. He's saying, if I had the gift of speaking all languages, if I could speak angel talk, he goes on to verse 2 and says, if I had the gift of prophecy and understood all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I had all faith, you see how he moves through the different gifts? If I'd had all the gifts, if I could move mountains. In verse 3, if I gave away all my things to feed the poor, if I gave my body to be burned, but I didn't have love, it would profit me nothing. Now, Paul's not saying, I have all of these gifts. He's not saying, I gave all my stuff to the poor and have my body burned. That didn't happen. He's saying, if I did those things, but I didn't have love, it would be useless. So he's making the point that it's not the best thing to claim to have this gift, and especially if you don't have love. What good is it? But somehow people have taken this verse and they've said, see, Paul talked with angel language and so can we. And you take this one little reference in the Bible and you see people twisted it. And they ran with that one little idea that speaking in tongues, the gibberish that we hear, is actually angel talk or supernatural speak that God understands. And the Bible doesn't teach that. As we just read in Acts chapter 2, speaking in tongues was a gift of being able to speak a foreign language that you never had to learn. Logical, practical, it's a good idea. Thank you, God. That's a great help to the church. It makes sense. Talking gibberish that the world would look at me and think I was, you know, crazy, that doesn't help. But speaking a language would easily convince another individual that what I'm saying is true because of that supernatural act. So today's version of tongues is not even the biblical version, unfortunately. It's just it's a twisting of what the Bible says speaking in tongues or the gift of tongues was. Anybody have any thoughts or comments on any of those things?
Can I get out?
Not yet. We're almost done. So let's go to Acts chapter 14, or excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for a second. Looking at verse 27 and 28. Actually, no, let's go back to 21 and 22 for a second. We'll read there too. We're almost out of time, but it says this, the purpose of tongues, really. It says in verse 21, in the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, meaning God saying through these people, I will speak unto these people, the unbelieving Jews there. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. In other words, it still wasn't enough to convince them. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. What's that mean? In other words, those that crucified Jesus Christ, those that rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah, if they were connecting the dots, would recognize that this was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 28, that there would be men with other lips speaking other languages, and it was a sign that they had rejected the Messiah, and that they didn't believe. And this is exactly what happened. They did reject the Messiah, and they didn't believe. It was a sign to the unbelieving Jews. Verse 27 of the same chapter says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, here's some of the rules that those who claim to have this ability don't even follow themselves. Biblical rules. It says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, so if you do speak in a language that you never learn, if this is the gift of the Spirit, let it be by two or at the most by three. It's very clear. Two or three. Not 50 in the same room, all gibbering off at the same time, because that's not beneficial. And Paul teaches this in chapter 14. He teaches this. It's not beneficial. So he said, look, it's got to be organized. So at the most, two or three. This is one of the rules laid down in regards to this gift of speaking in tongues. And today, this rule is also often overlooked because it's not the gift of tongues that people are utilizing anyway. Second to that, it says in the same verse, at the most three, and that by course let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. In other words, if there were those that still had the gift of speaking in unknown languages, Paul was saying, unless there's also someone who has the gift of interpretation, just keep it to yourself because it's not going to benefit anybody. I could preach to you all morning in Korean. Unless you had someone here to explain what I said, that doesn't benefit you at all, right? That would make no sense. Why would God do that? Why would God give me the gift of speaking in Korean, but you didn't understand a word I said? That wouldn't make sense. And so Paul is trying to help kind of clean up some of these things. He's saying, look, unless someone here can interpret, don't share it. Keep it to yourself. You can talk to God in that language. He knows what you're saying, but nobody else does. So two or three at the most, and you must have an interpreter. And if the gift of tongues has ceased, so has the gift of interpretation. And so today, you can't have either of these things. There is no true interpreter unless they already know that language. And they learned it the old-fashioned way. They went to school and they studied. Let's go to one more verse here. Maybe two. Look at verse 27, 28. Oh, we already looked at that. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Sorry. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll close here. Anybody have any thoughts or comments on any of these things? I guess I want to do some justice to the topic and, you know, recognize that the gift of tongues was a wonderful gift. It provided the ability to share the gospel in a language that the individual didn't have to learn, and the interpreter could interpret that message if necessary. And that was the supernatural gifting from the Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 2, one of the places that we can go to. In Corinthians, I guess I mentioned this already, it says that tongues will cease, prophecies will fail, or will stop. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, look what it says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Then it says, God also bearing them witness. Okay, so God was a part of that early witness. We see it in Acts chapter 2. Supernatural working. People are amazed. Wow, they're marveling. They're speaking our language. How is this possible? God must be involved. God's stamp of approval, affirmation, is on this so I can believe what they're telling me. But then it says this, bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. Now, what's the point? In verse 4, it says, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders. Verse 3, it says this, and was confirmed. The witness, the signs and the wonders had already been confirmed. It had taken place. In other words, it's past tense. It doesn't say is going to be confirmed or will continue to be confirming, but has been confirmed. We know this is true. It's been confirmed already. How do we know it's been confirmed? Because God's stamp of authority was on it. And these gifts have confirmed this is of God, and now it's not necessary anymore. God has put His signature on this, and that's good enough for us. We don't need a continual signature to say, is this God's working? Is God still a part of this? We know, according to God's word, that He is. Anyway, just a few thoughts on the gift of speaking in tongues here this morning. Does anybody have any questions as we close? I think on the one hand, we have to be careful. I don't ever really want to offend people, people who are sincere about their faith and they're, you know, they're trying to find out the truth. So I don't think it's right to belittle people or make fun of them or mock them because they might have been deceived or led astray. But I think it's unfortunate, or it would be unfortunate, if we compromised or if I said, you know what, I don't agree with this, but it's okay if you do it. Because the Bible clearly teaches against that. And so it's important that we understand, what is the gift of tongues? Different languages. It was one of the sign gifts, the same as the gift of healing. But today I can't heal people. I don't have that gift. I don't believe anybody does. Prayer, and God is able to. But the literal gift of laying on of hands and you know, raising the dead and those sorts of things, that season is past. And likewise with the gift of tongues. God is still able to do those things. And during the tribulation period, some of those things will take place. But this season, we have the Word of God, and this is our guide. This is our authority. Any thoughts as we close here this morning? We're out of time, so. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, God, for Your Spirit's direction. We pray that You would help us to understand these gifts, Lord, as we continue through them. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.